Heavenly Father, we love you. We exalt your holy name. And we magnify your holy name. Be exalted, Lord, in this place. May your name, Lord, always be exalted and lifted up, Father. I ask you, Lord, that you can open our understanding and our minds to hear and understand the word that's going to come through this evening. May your name, Lord, be glorified in this place. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title for this evening is, When is Doing Nothing a Sin? When is doing nothing a sin? And knowledge of this is part of your eternal destiny. It is part of your salvation. We have accepted Christ in our hearts. We have changed our ways. We have to come to know the truth. We abide in Christ. We fellowship with one another. You give 10% of your earnings. You fellowship and whatnot. And oftentimes we pride ourselves in the efforts to the respect of thou shalt not commandments, type of commandments. And I'm sure we could go down the list and check them all off as our accomplishments. I don't do this and I don't do that. I follow the Ten Commandments down to the T. And yes, we would exhibit a sense of pride in keeping these prohibited things out of our lives. This is something that could be considered as accomplishments. All things that come as part of dedicating your life to the Lord. In my particular occasion or situation, when I rededicated my life to the Lord, there's a lot of things that I kept from doing. For one, I cleaned up my vocabulary. I used to say things that I wasn't supposed to. I hung out with the wrong crowd. And from early on, I decided within myself that I would not talk about certain things. I would not use certain words. I would change the way that I speak, etc., etc. Another thing is I didn't hang out with the same crowd. That ultimately helped with that decision and making these things much, much easier. In between many other things, unfortunately. But that's another discussion. Nonetheless. But there are a few things we are commanded to do that does not get done. It is not just, thou shalt not do this and that, but also the things that we ought to do sometimes get overlooked. This is where we need to focus our attention on. And I will just elaborate certain things this evening as far as certain things that sometimes we tend to overlook as far as when is doing nothing a sin. And my opening verse for this evening is going to come from 1 John 3:4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness and sin. Sin in itself. Sin is lawlessness. The law is law. That is the law. Whether we understand it, it is still the law. Whether we agree with it, it is still law. Whether we know about it, it is still law. Whether we violate it, it still remains law. And whether somebody else does it or not, it still remains law. Most of us view the negative laws with more intensity than the positive laws. Negative laws are those that command us to not do something. In a way, these are easy commandments to obey if you stop and think about it. To some people, it's easier for us to not do something opposed to do something that we are instructed to do. However, there are some laws that are commanded of us concerning things we must do. And not always, these are not easy things to do. Not all the time these things are easy for us to come through with. And I'm going to cover some of these things and just make aware of certain things that we must do as Christians. I will start out by saying that it is a sin if we neglect our Christian duty. Duty as being followers of Christ. I would like to read James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So, when is it a sin to do nothing? The answer is clear. It's simple. It's a one-word answer. And that is always. Always. As it says in this opening verse here, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, you are sinning. So, when you know the truth, when you know what to do, and I'm going to include both sides of the coin, the thou shalt nots and the thou shalt do this and that. If you know, if you've been taught, if you are convicted in the Spirit that this is what you're supposed to do, and you don't do it, the Bible regards it as sin. So, when is it a sin to do nothing? Always. Always. So, we must never neglect our Christian duty. It is a sin if we have a Bible and we refuse to study it. Whether you like to read or not like to read, study time with your Bible is a must. And lucky for us, we live in year 2020, where the Bible could be heard, it could be read to you, if need be. There are applications out there that will read the Bible and it'll have dramatization in the background and all the, you know, the clinging of irons and swords fighting and all of this dramatization to paint a whole picture, to help you absorb things a little bit clearer instead of you just falling asleep on something just being played back to you. But it is considered a sin if we neglect to study the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Timothy should be diligent to present himself approved to God. Okay? His efforts should be concentrated on becoming a worker who does not need to be ashamed. This he could do by rightly dividing the word of truth. This latter expression means to handle the scriptures correctly. To hew the line, or as Alford would put it, quote, to manage rightly to treat truth fully without falsifying. I'm going to read that again. Quote, to manage rightly, to treat truth fully without falsifying. If we have not studied, we will not be prepared to handle what life throws at us. If we don't have the Word of God in our hearts, we will be unprepared to defend our faith. We will be unprepared to tackle on difficulties of life. We will be unprepared to minister to other people. So many things, all stemming from if we don't spend time with the Word. Do you understand why it's considered a sin? Also, it is a sin if we fail to share the gospel with those who need to hear it. In my time away, in my time off, there was so many occasions that brought back memories of my childhood. So many occasions. And the reason why I'm bringing this up right now is tied into what I'm elaborating on at this very moment. A fellow brother in Christ, Pastor Christian Hedgard, who will be here the last week of April, has a street ministry that is something to behold. And he particularly tackles the homeless and the drug addicts. And that is such a humbling sight to view. Because when you think about it, the Lord loves them just as equal. And the Lord died for their sins too. Every single Sunday morning, he hosts a lunch after Sunday morning service. And it's cooked by different people that's assigned every single week. It's not by the same person. And it's a separate quarter. So let's say this is the sanctuary. It's the building right next to it. And there's a pathway in between. And I saw some folks that looked like, you know, they might have not showered in about a week or so. You know, potentially looked a little bit underdressed, but they had a good attitude. They had a good countenance, a positive countenance. They have a sparkle of hope in their eyes, which is ultimately rewarding in itself. But failing to share the gospel to those in need, we are held accountable for that. You know, we are God's instrument, His servants, His vessels to be used in His hand. And when we would neglect to do this, the Lord holds us accountable. After all, we are His workers here on earth. When we went to, it's actually His future home. It's an unfinished home. It's, let's call it a shell. But because it's always seemed like it's always warm in Florida now, the entire time I was down there, I was in shorts and t-shirt, except for a couple of days. We were able to have set up a long table and eat there, and we set up some portable lights because there's no electricity, there's no plumbing. And we had what's called a home dinger of a time. And he took upon himself to invite some folks who are a little less fortunate. And that was a beautiful sight to behold. And they saw and witnessed us basking in the glory of God after our fellowship meal, when we took time to worship and pray, which that in itself was quite amazing. But potentially you might ask, who needs it? Who is it that needs this Word of God? And the answer is this: anyone outside of Christ. Anyone who does not know God are the ones who need the gospel shared to them. Can I please have 2 Corinthians 4:3? But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. A veil is a covering, if in case you were wondering. A covering. And we can cover up our knowledge of God's gospel in many different ways. Keeping silent is the easiest way of veiling the truth of God. So, we cannot keep silent or keep the gospel to ourselves. We must share it with the world, regardless who it might be. It is also a sin if we are exposed to error and do not defend the truth. Can I please have Titus 1:9? Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Do we know error when we hear it? Do we know when the Word of God is being presented the right way opposed to the wrong way? And this ties in to studying the Scriptures on a daily basis, spending time with God, doing research, that sort of thing. I'm not exactly referring to jumping from conference to conference, visiting this church and that church, or seeing special speakers, and I have nothing against that, just so you know. We have special speakers here all the time. We try to hold at least one conference a year. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm referring to specific time set apart between you and your Bible, between you and the Holy Spirit, one-on-one time with God. The question here is, do we know error when we hear it? And oftentimes we will know when we have a strong connection with the Holy Spirit. And if so, if you do know, we must expose it. Let's read Romans 16:17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. There are many times when we might come across someone who potentially might have been falsely taught, who has their own doctrine. The Bible is warning us against those folks. Unfortunately, there are many times that we hear of preachers bending the rules, making things sound to their own favor, saying things to draw the crowd. As of late, most commonly, we hear of pastors assigning in leadership position people who have a double life, or are openly homosexual, openly gay. Acceptance of all of this when the Lord doesn't accept it. This is the most common. This is pretty much what's unfortunately sweeping the nation, is the acceptance of homosexuality in the body of Christ. This is when we need to stand strong. We need to defend the Word. Stand on the Word and defend the Word of God. And ultimately, not associate with those folks. As the Bible says, avoid them. Steer clear. The Lord loves the sinner. He died for them also, but he does hate their sin, and they must be convicted otherwise. Amen? It is a sin if we do not do good to others when the opportunity arises. And let me just say that there are many times that we have the opportunity to do good. And it's 100% completely up to us to act on it. The opportunity comes almost on a daily basis. Can I please have Galatians 6:10? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. How about that? We must do good to everyone, but if we know a brother and sister in Christ who is in need, and you are in a position to help that particular need, the Bible says, don't forsake them, especially those who love God. And I truly think that this is in the Bible as a promise to you and I. And that is the promise of blessings, material blessings to be more specific. Now, there are always ties. There are also spiritual blessings tied to this too. And I have seen many testimonies in this of people doing good deeds, act of mercy, going the extra mile, favors, and they were blessed spiritually. But many, many times we see financial blessings, materialistic blessings. Consider this as a promise. The household of faith includes all who are saved without regard to denominations and also divisions. So just because a Presbyterian brother right there could use a lift down the street, that he's not excluded. Okay? Help your fellow brother in Christ. The Presbyterians, the Lutheran, the Assemblies of God, the Seventh-day Adventist. It doesn't matter. It's irregardless of denomination. Our kindness is not to be limited to believers, but it is to be shown to them in a special way. In a special way. It is not negative. How little harm, but positive. How much good we can do that is to be our objective. John Wesley said it very, very clearly and very, very simple. He said this, quote, do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. So, before the baby kindly interrupted me, I will repeat the statement if in case you were slightly sidetracked. Yes? This is what Mr. John Wesley said, quote, do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Doing good to others. In Ephesians chapter 2:10 it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We have been created for good works here on earth, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Walking them, meaning on a daily basis. Praise the Lord. And here's a little quote. It's not a really quote, but it's just a saying that I like to add on to this. It goes like this. Ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. It's very simple, short, simple, and true. I'm going to say it again. Ability plus opportunity. I'm going to stop right there. If you have the ability to do something, and the opportunity presents itself, equals responsibility. And you being a responsible Christian in Christ. Ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. It is a sin if we are too ashamed to teach the gospel of Christ. And this could be broken down in so many different ways, in so many different situations and scenarios. But Paul said it in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes." Everyone. For the Jews first and also for the Greek. But which this is a common verse that is mentioned, but the one that really got to me when speaking about being ashamed of the gospel of God was when the Lord Jesus himself mentioned it in Mark chapter 8, verse 38. "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is something that we need to be very mindful of. Very, very mindful. It ties in with you knowing, you being convicted that the person that's in front of you at the end of the line, on the other side of the counter, driving the car, whatever the case might be, needs to hear your testimony, but you don't. Needs to hear what the Lord has done for you recently in a situation that they're found pretty much exactly the same as where you were found a moment ago, but you did not share. Why? Because you're uncomfortable. Or you don't have the courage. Or you don't feel like it. And dare I say, or you are ashamed. However you might dice it, the Lord God says that he will do the same for you when the time of resurrection comes. And that is a dreadful, dreadful thought. In all that we do for God, the time that we spent with him, in all that you do, in the efforts that you put out, but yet you fail to share the gospel to those who are in need, all because it exceeds your comfort level. And when the time comes for us to be in front of our Lord, for him to turn his face away from you because of that, that is a tough pill to swallow. Let us not be guilty of that. Our fear causes us to behave like we are ashamed of Christ and his gospel. And therefore, let us not have fear when we are talking about God, when the opportunity presents itself for us to present the gospel. I tell you, it takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of courage and faith to witness to someone who's high. To witness to someone who you don't know if they have a gun in their pocket or a knife and is not afraid to use it. It does. To someone who has nothing to lose. Nothing to live for. But the opportunity came for you to witness to them, and you didn't because you were afraid. When clearly you had the conviction in your heart to tell that person, "Hey, do you know there's someone who loves you? Do you know that there's someone who gave their life for you just so you can have a better life? Do you understand?" Let us not be victims of fear. It is a sin if we do not do the work of God. Can I please have Luke chapter 10, verse 2? "Then he said to them, 'The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The Lord needs willing workers. The Lord needs people who are willing wholeheartedly to do his work. And believe me, the enemy has all the help he needs. The enemy is not lacking in help at all. There are only a few in God's kingdom to do the work, and far fewer who actually do any work at all for the king. Let us be conscious of that. The Lord is looking for laborers. He is. And my final point here this evening will be, it is a sin if we do not show zeal to the things of God. And zeal is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I love people who are zealous of the things of God. It is, can I say, refreshing? Very, very refreshing when we see someone who has true zeal for the things of God. We must abandon procrastination. We must abandon the lack of enthusiasm or interest to the things of God. We must. This time that I've had away truly brought back a new zeal for the things of God. It really, really did. Seeing things from a different perspective, from a different point of view, seeing the Lord work in a miraculous way, in a way that is not seen commonly. And believe me when I say, not everybody has the skin to do certain types of work. And when you see a person submitting themselves 100% to the things of God, that is a beautiful thing to behold. And I call that zeal for the things of God. Many who do not have zeal do so out of ignorance and without knowledge of God's righteousness. Romans 10:2 says that some have zeal, but not according to knowledge. Can I please have that, Brother Dion? Romans 10:2. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Far from condemning them as godless and irreligious, the apostle gives his testimony that they have a zeal for God. And this was apparent from their careful observance of the rituals and ceremonies of Judaism back at that time, and from their intolerance of every contrary doctrine. But I will say this, zeal, simple zeal, is not enough. It must be combined with truth. Otherwise, it can do more harm than good. And the truth of the matter is, the Lord needs workers. The Lord needs laborer. That is the truth. Can I please have Titus 2:14? Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for what? For good works. For good works. This is the zeal that I'm referring to right now. Taking God's work seriously. Providing fruits of labor. Because we are attached to the vine, aren't we? And when we don't produce, what happens? The axe. Bible said the axe will be to the root of the tree. You're going to be put on the chopping block, cut off, and burnt. That's exactly right. We must be zealous for good works. In conclusion to all of this, we are all guilty, folks. You know, I will put myself in that mix. We are all guilty. There are times that I look back and I think to myself, I've had the opportunity for me to do this, that, and the other thing at this particular moment, and I did not. Forgive me, Lord. And oftentimes we can look back and say, I could have done more for the Lord. And you wish you would have. Hence this sermon here this evening. Many times we are unaware that an opportunity has arisen. We are unaware that some may also teach error. This is the very reason we must pray without ceasing. For we all recognize that there are many things we could have done, but choose not to do them. Let us begin to be more watchful and show zeal in trying to do God's work. Amen, church. God bless His word. God bless you. Amen.